Well, oh, woe is me. It's just me today. I'm live, but I'm solo. So I'm counting on you to be the best guest ever. I don't have my co-host, Carrie Gorgone. I don't have any guests today unless you come and be my guest. So as you know, that's going to make for one really sad backpack show unless you join me. So cbrogan.me/join us. Come get on this thing. Come be a guest with me. cbrogan.me/join us. This is a lot like Fight Club. If you don't say hi to me in the comments, I don't even know you're here. You don't get any credit. So make sure you say hi and welcome to the Backpack Show. Good to connect up with everybody. We have nothing to cover. We're just going to talk about whatever comes up unless you come be my guest. So again, cbrogan.me/join us. And I have to tell you, because it's dangerous around here, there's something floating right beneath my screen.
Hey, Chris, buddy. Feline invasion coming your way. Hit the floor, man. Hit the floor.
Because evidently the cat knows I'm alone, and the cat knows I'm going to be on the show. So hi to Coach Woodard. How you doing, buddy? How are you doing? Hope you're doing well up there. Hi, Chloe. You could come on the show, Chloe. Hey, Paul. How are you? And also hi to Anne. So I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do here. It is so weird not having Carrie to help me push the buttons, but she's got so much on her plate right now. So we'll start with this.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz, welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Carrie Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Well, one fewer host today because I have no Carrie Gorgone. She's away. She's traveling or something like that. Hello, Elizabeth from Austin. Hello, my mother from Vegas. I imagine my dad's forthcoming, but he might have had to stop and refill his coffee on the way. So I need you to come into my studio today. So you want to do that, you just go to cbrogan.me/join us. You can talk about anything you want to talk about, whatever makes you cheery. I had an interesting experience before the show today. I got to go and teach in a classroom. And this classroom was 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and 8-year-olds. And oh my gosh, whatever teachers are getting paid, they need to get paid even more. You think it's hard to run a classroom in person, face to face, but if you got to get that many people managing their Zoom or their Google Meet in this case, and telling all these kids to mute themselves, these kids all wanted to run their own class. They had so much energy. This one girl, Kamaya, just was talking and talking and talking and talking, and teacher had to keep saying, you got to go on mute, honey. Like, this guy is here to, you know, teach a class. And she just wanted to tell me everything. And of course, one little problem that I have. Hello, Dad. Hey, Naz. One little problem. Hi, Suze. One problem I have is that I love interaction, as evidenced by, like, I'll interrupt my own sentences to say hi to people. So I'm encouraging this. Like, I'm like, how, you know, what would happen if you saw a purple cat? Do we actually paint the cat purple, or is it from somewhere else? And the kid says, oh, somewhere else. And I was like, great, where is it from? From Mars. And these kids are all using like all the effects inside of Google Meet, which I'm sure the teachers don't even know what those are. So this one girl, Victoria, has like a solar system around her whole head just floating out there. And I said, well, if that cat's from Mars, then this cat flew right by Victoria. So she starts nodding like crazy, like, oh my gosh, he knows me. So it was great. I had a real fun time. So now I want you to get in on the action. I want you to be in my classroom. Come to cbrogan.me/join us. That puts you right into our app, StreamYard. Come right on in. Be camera ready. Come say hi. Don't be shy. This show ends so much faster if you don't come and talk to me. So, hey, Janice, how's everything going in Houston? Are you all back to full power and all that? You have everything going on down there? Elizabeth, you were in the same boat, right? I think you're more or less handled. Can't remember. Hey, look, before I forget, I'm going to take off this banner and I'm going to do ads because I got to do that no matter what. Believe it or not, and I often cannot believe it, we are sponsored. So I'm going to go in reverse order. If you want to make a website, we have the .online domain for ours because we got it for 99 cents. You can too. cbrogan.me/online. Get a .online domain for 99 cents for the first year. That's ridiculous. If you don't like my handsome face, and I don't know why you wouldn't, you could listen to my face instead. Go to castos.com to get your own hosting, but you can go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, any of those places you listen to a podcast and type in The Backpack Show. We're there. Subscribe to us, people of Earth. Those numbers help. Johnsonville is a sponsor. No lie. Sausages. Carrie has two packages of sausage left in her secret sausage closet. So if you want to get involved in this, you got to send an email, carrie@chrisbrogan.com. I wonder how many people think there's really a sausage closet. See brogan.me/StreamYard to make a show just like this. We can talk to people in Milan with this show. All you have to do is have StreamYard. See brogan.me/StreamYard. And if you're an author, Cody Wooden's got a book in him. You can write a book at, you know, and then publish it, and then you can have your own cool author website at PubSite, pub-site.com. That's a good place. That's it. That's all my things. So let's see. Janice says, I have full power and water, just dealing with busted pipes. Ugh. No bueno, they say. Sweet, and we'll be in Houston racing sailboats Saturday, Janice. I don't know. I see a cup of coffee in your future. Who knows? Leslie says, I always love it when I got to visit our classrooms. Leslie still works in the school universe somewhere, I believe. Naz, where'd you go, buddy? I just had you there. I was just getting ready to pull you up. It's, you know, it's not that long a flight from Milan. Come on back on over. Well, I guess I'll have to wait. Naz looked around, thought about it, said maybe not. I don't know. He looked like he was in a coffee shop. So cbrogan.me/join us. And, yeah, the best part about the school thing is that there's always that sense of people doing interesting and useful things. There's always that sense that kids have really cool big ideas. Well, you know, Chloe, I'll tell you this. I think I would be into it. There he is. Naz, I thought you went to get a sandwich or something. What happened?
No, I had to switch from my weird Wi-Fi today to my cell phone. I don't know why. How you doing, buddy?
Are we in a coffee shop?
No, I got some people. I got to wear masks and stuff. So, we're not in a coffee shop. We're in the studio here in beautiful Brera. Yeah. I'm taking an interruption from work.
That's okay. Yeah. What's out the window? Yeah. Like, I mean, can we see anything cool?
Let me see if you can see something cool. Not much, because we're inside a... Nah, can't show you much apart from the cat was here a couple of minutes ago, but now he's gone. He's a camera shy.
I could issue a feline alert. Tell me a little bit about what's going on over there. What kind of work are you working on today?
Well, currently today we're working on developing some B2B additions to a client of ours' website.
Nice.
And they basically is a glass company. They do design, high-end design glass products. Working on that today.
So when you say that, and, this is funny. I spoke at a glass event one time, and I thought they meant like, I don't know, glass you drink out of. But they meant like that you make cell phones with or building glass and all that. What kind of glasses that you're talking about? Oh, no, he froze. This thing is a bandwidth creature. Yeah, we have a feline evasion. Naz, buddy, I lost you. Well, it happens, and it happens sometimes in Milan, and it happens if you have a lot of different apps open on your machine. That was one thing I forgot to tell Cody, but it's a bandwidth hog. So let's see. I'm going to boot you back out. All right. Any more guests coming to play with me today, go to cbrogan.me/join us. You can come right on screen here and do a thing. All I want to do is talk to you about what's going on in your life. Nothing fancy. No hard lifting. You're good. If you are not already subscribed to the newsletter, by the way, you are not going to know who's coming up on the show. I have every single day someone will message me and say, who's on today? And I'm like, check your newsletter that I sent you. Backpackshow.substack.com. We write, and we sometimes is Carrie and sometimes is me, write quite an effusive amount of notes on who the guests are. So you would not have known that you were going to get to talk to Mistress Harley yesterday and Michelle McLaughlin if you didn't get your newsletter, right? So get ready to come on the show, cbrogan.me/join us. Let's just take a look. Oh, Cody just found out that if you type into the comment section, then you're going to send it out across multitudes of networks and platforms. So Cody sent to YouTube, Twitch, Carrie Gorgone's Twitter, my Twitter, the Backpack Show's business page, and everything. Hang on. Naz, you may have to kill a couple apps or something. I forgot to warn you about that. Sometimes it's, you know, crazy.
No, it's been kind of weird this whole day with I don't know if it's the cell phones doing weird stuff. I think it's probably some external factors. Let's blame it on that.
I blame that. You know, solar flares.
Solar flares and the magnetic poles. No, wait. No, let's not go down that.
Where are we now? It's like 310 or 410 over there?
Right now, it's 410 in Milan, Italy. It's a nice day. We are heading towards red zone, which means that tomorrow they're going to start locking things up once again because we got another wave coming. And it's a pain in the butt. You know.
What kind of prep does that entail for you? Do you have to get all of the sausage and all of the pasta?
I got to get the sausage, not the type that you're promoting, but similar. And I got to get it out of the freezer, bring it upstairs, and on the patio we'll do some bar. And, you know, that's about it.
That is so fun.
How are you doing, my friend?
You know, every day is a holiday. That's all I could say.
I love it.
Carrie's traveling today. She's got some stuff going on, and
She told me. She gave me an update. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's got stuff going on. I've got a partner here, Side Saddle, learning the backstage of how to run StreamYard. So that's been fun. And like I said, I started my day talking to little 6, 7, and 8 year olds. So what
I heard about
that. Energized, you know.
That yeah, the youth.
The youth are on fire.
The youth on fire.
This is
great. It's been a while. It's been a while that since you did this join in the StreamYard, which is great. It's fun.
Right before Christmas time might have been the last time for those who celebrate Christmas. Hi, Kate. So what's interesting to you beyond your work stuff? Where are you kind of pointing your passions right now?
Well, you know, I don't know if I ever told you. Me and my wife have an Italian lifestyle blog that we've been doing for like 4 or 5 years now, and we've been traveling around Italy, showing the world. It's kind of like Stanley Tucci, but without the whole production and the whole name. At that level. In fact, my wife, we were watching Stanley Tucci's Italian. He goes visit, and she's like, and I go, yeah, well, he's Stanley Tucci, and he's got the whole production going. So. But we do something quite similar where we explore different parts of Italy. And it's a hobby thing. We do it with passion. And we got a great following. We've been doing it for 4 years now.
Do you see it's on a blog or on a YouTube channel? Where do I find that?
Ours is casachiesi.com. C-A. I don't know if I can put it in the chat here. Yeah, probably
from the chat side of chat, you can. Or you can put it in private chat now that you're on the show. There you
go. Yeah. So basically, we've been doing this for 4 years, and we have a YouTube channel, and we've done visiting different parts of the kind of like not the big cities, not the Rome, and not the more like Ferrara, Palermo, and it's going really great. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's great.
Not bad at all. Yeah, I know. Thanks. And this is our hobby. I mean, it's our hobby, but it's getting traction. We're getting, you know. About 1,000 people a month watch it, and newsletter goes out. And, yeah,
tortellini and, right there.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. We mix food and we mix food recipes and different sites. And that is something that when we retire, we're gonna hope to have fun with this. Just keep going around Italy and exploring.
It looks like something to really drag into. That's pretty cool. Well, man, thank you so much for coming and sharing a little bit of that with us.
Look at all thank you for inviting me, and have a great day, buddy.
You too, my man. Yeah. Good to see you. Now as I'm booting you, boop. Everybody likes when I boop, although I have to wet my booper, evidently. I wasn't ready to boop just then. Sweet Janice and logging in, Chris. What does Naz do full time? He's making websites and things like that. Steve Garfield, is this better? Everybody tells me every single week that my mic is too loud. So everybody, you know, is telling me that it was awful that way. So, by the way, looking for more guests, cbrogan.me/join us. This show is going to go super slow if people don't come and pile up. I guess I need my Michelle Pridgen, and I'm trying to think Fred shows up, Fred Faulkner IV. But I guess I don't draw the same as Carrie. She asks nicely, and I ask like a grumpy old uncle. I don't know. That's okay. I'll light up my booper. The other thing I was going to say about the experience of the guests yesterday, you know what was the best part of yesterday? Is Michelle McLaughlin and Mistress Harley were both former project managers at SaaS companies. They were technical project managers at SaaS companies, and they both quit their day job and made money doing what they wanted to do. So Michelle McLaughlin makes piano music, and it was beautiful. It was dreamy music. And Mistress Harley convinces men to give her money to say mean things to them. So, you know, it's good work if you could get it. I would insult people for money. Oh, I do. I'm a consultant. So, all right. Well, you know, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite Cody on because he's already a captive guest. So he has to come on because he's already backstage. So you all come on. See. Oh, there's Elizabeth. There's Elizabeth. I'm going to grab Cody. Elizabeth, stick around. Don't go anywhere. Get yourself all set up and ready to go. Cody, buddy, how are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Cody Wooten works at a company that I'm doing some work with right now called AppFire. And Cody got brought in to take over their partner program. And that means just basically love on all the resellers and whatnot who come and sell AppFire software to other places. Cody is just about to start launching into a series of video shows himself. What do you think so far? Like, what's you're at the part where you're trying to absorb everything, right, trying to figure out what it's going to be about. What do you think is going to be hard? What do you think is going to be easy?
I think probably one of the hardest parts is going to make sure that I know exactly what's going to bring value to the partners. So all the content stuff, we can come up with ideas all day. Everybody's got an idea. We can execute them. But the most important part is going to be able to see, you know, what actually is valuable to those partners. What are they actually going to use? All that kind of good stuff. The easiest part is going to be really somehow a part of my job is to get to kind of bullshit people a little bit to make them think that I'm cool and friendly and they love me. So, right. But no, that's going to be probably the easiest part. I love getting to meet new people and kind of forming those relationships and stuff. So that kind of just falls right into, you know, what's natural for me. So I'm just going to be excited to kind of get to when the pandemic's over, get to travel, meet some people in person, you know, have some drinks, have dinner and stuff like that. So that's going to be the easiest part. But the hardest part is going to make sure to find that that content, that material that they're going to find the most valuable and get some use out of.
So it's clear from your accent that you're from Ireland. So,
well, actually, yeah, Southern Ireland. So
Southern Ireland.
pretty distinct, but yeah.
The one thing I heard, well, before I even met you, everybody said I had to meet you because you're a bit of a character. But then the other thing I heard about pretty quick on is that you'd already formulated a hot sauce and that you were something of a bit of a barbecue gentleman as well.
Yeah, so my dad has always been a great – I'm actually an extremely picky eater. So I've never could be a cook, could never be in culinary, but my dad, I didn't pick that up from him because he's a great cook. He worked in restaurants all growing up, and then he had a couple of his own restaurants here and there, and so he'd just kind of tinker all the time. And he just kind of had that thought that he wasn't happy with anybody's hot sauce that he tried. This was before Hot Ones and all the other, you know, this whole big hot sauce culture popped up, right? So he kind of started just tinkering around and kind of came up with his own and started showing it to friends and families. And back, so I'm from Kentucky, in small town Glasgow, Kentucky. It's like every Saturday we basically had a huge cookout, like get together. They called it the Saturday Night Crew. And as a kid, it would be like 40, sometimes close to 50 people would just kind of get together at different people's houses, and it would be that person's job to cook and host and all that kind of stuff. So he started showing that salt, you know, he started putting that sauce on shoulder. We have thin cut shoulder here. Started putting it on wings and stuff, and it just kind of become like a little staple here in our little community where people, it's been like 10, 12 years probably since he's had it. People still buy it. They still, you know, ring him up, say, I need a bottle. He makes it. It's he doesn't have a business or anything. It's just literally out of his kitchen. He just hops up and does it. And so when we had the partners, we had been doing a partner award program where basically we say, hey, you're our top partner. We want to give you an award. And we used to send out this really super nice glass trophy. Like, it was really nice, like something you should be proud of. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to kind of make sure that we gave these awards a little bit more personality, make them a little bit more personal, because we thought, hey, nobody's coming into the offices this year. And even the way our partners are structured, there might not be a lot of customers who actually go into the office. So we were worried they were actually taking that trophy and maybe just putting it in a closet or putting it somewhere to collect dust. So we wanted to do something a little bit more personal. And so we, I created all the hot sauce with my dad. Me and him was the only ones who knows the recipe. Created it, bottled it up, sent it off to him.
That's impressive work. I mean, it's not simple to do, but like you said, it's a family business, so you had some practice in it and whatnot.
Right, a little bit.
So, one last question: what do you spend your sort of fun time on? Like when you have a little bit of nobody's asking you for anything kind of time, and you could burn some hours. What do you do?
I usually play basketball, play music, watch a lot of the NBA. It's pretty much where I spend a lot of my time now. And of course, me and my wife just recently had a son, so that's taken up the majority of the free time now. So chasing him around.
How old's that little man?
He is 9 months as of like a couple of days ago and stuff, and he's already walking. And so we were not even close to prepared to baby-proof our house. So he started walking, and we were like, oh, we need gates and outlet covers and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Ooh, that's a fun time in life, Cody.
it really made me question how much energy I actually really did have. I thought I was an energetic person and didn't wear down, and I'm sadly mistaken.
All right, I'm banishing you back to the back, but thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. Boop, just like that. I'm going to grab Elizabeth on. Now, this actually gives me an interesting opportunity, Elizabeth, because I pronounce your name the way I think I pronounce it, but okay. you can now school me. Quintanilla?
Pretty close.
Give it to me.
Quintanilla.
Oh, sorry, well, you know, you just Spanish it up even a little more, but Quintanilla. All right.
It's okay. The funny thing is when I go to Mexico, they even correct me on my last name.
And it's your name.
It's my name.
There you go. So you just survived the whole Texas shenanigans. You just survived, you know, the first pretty significant bad weather in Texas in a while. That wasn't pleasant. What all befell you when that went down?
God, I posted the pictures, I think, on Instagram and Facebook, mostly on Facebook. But essentially, I had 6 inches of snow on top of my car. Hmm. And if for anybody who knows anything about Austin, Texas, we might get snow for like half a day and you make a snowman about that tall, about 4 inches. And, you know, it's like, wait a minute, wait, why are we having snow twice in 1 year? And that was the thing that really freaked a lot of people out, because it got so cold, we couldn't even pump gas. Like, even if the gas stations had gas, there was no way for the gas to come up through the pumps because we don't winterize here.
Right, right. So that caused you a bunch of problems. Your place where you lived, you ran out of power, you ran out of water. Like, what else happened? No heat, probably, I guess?
No heat, because since I'm in an apartment, and so there is no fireplace, there is no gas appliances. So essentially, it's Wi-Fi, water, and heat are my main bills. And isn't, you know, when you think about it, it's like, wait a minute. So when you have no power, then all your heat's gone. How are you supposed to cook anything? And you can't microwave, you can't do anything. I do have a little grill in the backyard, but it had 6 inches of snow I would have to dig out. So
see, up north, we shovel for our grill. You know, that is a thing, but I get why you maybe don't do that in Texas.
Well, it's like, what am I going to shovel with? It was like, I'm shoveling with like where I like stick the broom in. That's my shovel. Like the dustpan was my shovel to get through this. Like, I don't have that. But luckily for me, I'm a camper, so I had 2 solar panels, and that's how I was charging my phone. And yeah, it was craziness.
Leslie says, I visited Austin when I was a teenager. It was a great trip. First time I went down to Austin was 2008, and I had the opportunity to spend time with Governor Rick Perry before he was like weird, at least outwardly weird. And had a great old time. I mean, when you hang out in the governor's office for a bit, it's pretty good, and you get to go to some barbecue spots. What do you recommend people do when they come to visit Austin? What's some part of Austin they maybe don't know about or they haven't tried?
Oh, definitely the barbecue tour, because actually some of the best barbecue is actually in Lockhart. And so you have the two rivalries down in Lockhart, the two families. I can't remember both of them. Oh, Kreitzig and Schlitt. I can't remember. But you have to hit. Oh, and then Black. So there's three different barbecue spots in Lockhart. Then you have Snow's, which is breakfast barbecue. And then the really cheesy tour of some guy who was stuck in prison and escaped. And so they'll give you the complete cheesy small town tour. And then everybody, you know, wants to go to the Salt Lick, and the Salt Lick is actually fun. So, I mean, we have a a college reunion there every New Year's.
Stubbs, I guess, as well. I mean, there's a bunch of them down there. I'm still back on breakfast barbecue, though. I'm always just kind of wondering about what that's going to be like. Does that mean you take an Eggo and you put some barbecue sauce on it? How does that work out?
No, you just actually go there and have barbecue for breakfast.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm also gluten-free, so no Eggos for me.
No Eggos. Gluten-free. So when you're not doing your work, what other kind of things are you doing? What keeps you interested and entertained? You sell pictures. Okay.
No. I go sailing.
So there's water, evidently, in Texas, I've been told. I went to the Redneck Riviera once myself. I went to Port Aransas and hung out down there a little bit. But there's a sailing group in Austin, evidently?
There's lots of sailing groups in Austin. And I'm actually originally from Corpus, so I know where you're talking about in Port A. So we used to hang out there all the time growing up. I didn't get a chance to sail growing up as a kid in Corpus, so it just wasn't available to me. So I didn't get a chance to start really sailing until college. And then you go do this, that, and the other. So I got back into it after a break in my 40s. So I'm actually in my 40s. And it's fun. Lake Travis is huge when it's not, it's a variable lake. So as it's a reservoir, so the water level goes down. So right now it's looking more like a river than an actual lake.
Got it.
Yeah. But the thing is, we actually have a lot of collegiate and some prior Olympian sailors here at Austin Yacht Club.
Wow. It's a lot to be done. I was thinking about those rowers we had on the other day, and it's interesting that they share a lot more camaraderie with you than I thought. I figured there'd be some kind of a rivalry. Well, you just let the wind pull you around, but I couldn't get it started. I couldn't get a fight out of them.
No, I mean, the thing is, it's like downtown, like Austin, you see the rowers all the time. So they need the calm, steady level lake. So it might vary about 3 to 6 inches, you know, during our drought season, it will go down. But, you know, they need very calm, clear water, which is anything but Lake Travis. But gotcha. The thing is, you need a really strong core if you're racing as crew. So you can drive the boat, Chris, today. It's no problem. But if you're going to be jumping around and lifting, you know, raising the halyards and doing all of that trim work that you see in the America's Cup, you got to stay in shape, and rowing's great.
If I'm hoisting the mainsail and getting in the crow's nest, I don't know, I'm running out of words. There's probably not any crow's nest in a modern sails boat.
No crow's nest. But last weekend we did send the boat owner's daughter up the mast twice because...
Wow. Rigging issues? Is that what would cause one up? Or, okay. I didn't know if it was like a rite of passage, like hazing. Ha ha. Go up the mast, but no. Okay.
No, you actually have to bring the halyards down the mast so we can thread it. So it's like a giant needle.
Wow. So it's, you know, knitting on the water. I get it. It's amazing. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on. It was so cool to have you just be ready to be a guest. That was so great.
You're
welcome. Thanks so much for some of your time today. All right, I'm going to push the button. I'm going to boop you backstage. Boop. Thank you so much. And now we get to check in. We have a medical check-in. This is important. Hang on, helicopters. Okay, thank you. Ready for our next update? Kate Colgan, how are you feeling? How are you coalescing?
Hey. Yeah, I'm doing well. Just got back from seeing the orthopedic assistant. And it's healing.
Good.
Inside, yeah. So it's a better 3 more weeks for another x-ray and then start physical therapy. So it's good. I'm being spoiled rotten by my wife, but what are you gonna do?
I know you can't say no to that. Kate, what's this gonna do to your competitive ping pong career?
Yeah, you know, I practice very much now in my dream, so it's just intensified my dream power. So it's a little ping pong under the table, so I'll be very competitive and, you know, wait for 8 more weeks and I'll be the champion.
That's fun. I have a feeling your hand might be over the microphone port, so there we go, a little better. Kate, in all seriousness, no, you are ahead of the curve a lot of times. And then you immerse pretty heavily into the curve. One of the things I was thinking about over and over again is that you've been really interested in cryptocurrency for the last year or so. And now all of a sudden, every other conversation on that dreaded place Clubhouse is about NFTs. And I just saw even more news about NFTs today. I'm just curious to know, you know, do you feel like, well, finally, guys, you finally caught up? Or, you know, do you think they're, everybody's going to do it crazy? Or what do you think is going to come of this?
I think that, it's like anything else. I mean, people have to do their, do their own research. And, it's digital art has been around for quite a long time. I think it can be a craze. I think that there's going to be people, that'll experience like anything else. They're going to do, the FOMO, which is the fear of missing out. They're going to buy some stuff. I personally have not bought any. The only ones that I might buy would be really just to help friends that I know to Got buy their art. But, I'm not into it. I know, Gary Vee's very big into it. With the sports cards, etc. It's like any collectible. I mean, it definitely has, it can have value like anything else could have value. It's on the blockchain, etc. I would like to be able to see it in some ways. I think I mentioned to you, one of the things that has been in my head would be as far as, to be able to support homelessness.
Yes,
actually, my idea, and how I am, but I'm like, I don't have the energy or the talent, but I would love to see. I have this actual photograph that I took of somebody, a homeless man, like 2 years ago, and I came across it again the other day, and I just love it, and I would love to be able to see somebody put, I think, the different projects together. To take photographs or people to draw, et cetera, and to bring awareness through this particular platform, if you will. And then that people can, the artists, and they could share it, and Mark Horvath could get involved. And this is where I would love to see somebody take. I actually saw, there's a couple of people, including the founder of, I can't remember, it was the founder of Dig, what's his name?
But Kevin Rose?
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah, actually, Kevin was talking about how you could use it and help to benefit it. So, there's nothing new. I mean, again, it's just and it's not even like crypto, if you will. It's just on the blockchain. It's really nothing. It's just simply. However, what it is good for is that it can be an on-ramp. The question though is it good because it's an It can be an on-ramp to introduce people, to
the benefits of that. Yeah,
exactly. To the benefits of it. But I also do get concerned. I know a young man in, become a friend in Nigeria who over the years I've sent him, some Bitcoin, et cetera. And it's interesting to see. I love it because he actually mentioned on his Twitter feed the other day how he's concerned that people will do the fear of missing out. And that they'll spend their money on an NFT as opposed to just, buying Satoshis, if you will,
Right.
So it's a way to, but it's like anything else. He actually talked about, and then another person that I follow who's brilliant, he talked about how these college kids, he even said this, he goes, I can't believe these college kids are, jumping into NFTs. Aren't they supposed to be smart and do research? And they're not, and they don't know the difference between whatever. But again, it's just a matter of, fear of missing out. How do I get into it? And there's some good on Clubhouse. There are some good discussions with some intelligent people. I mean, you've got it's like anything else. You have to know the people that are really behind the source and the benefit of something, as opposed to just jumping.
Not
bank.
Just the ones you're going to make the money from, it right, Kate?
Exactly.
Kate, I need a 30-second praises, and I know asking you that is tricky sometimes, but here's what. Your friend Chloe in Scotland has fallen on her sword. Can you explain what an NFT is to me, but like I'm 3 years old?
Can I explain? Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, Marty.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do better, Chloe, is I will put a link in here afterwards. And then that would be the best version of somebody explaining to you, like a 3-year-old. What I've learned is it's better to do it, that way. I mean, it stands for a non-fungible token, but that's about it. But I will put something that it took me a while to find somebody that could explain it to us, like your a 3-year-old. So I will put that link and let the people that do it better than Kate do it that way. So how's that, Chloe? So
you're always lovely, Kate. Thank you for coming on. I'm gonna boop you. Boop. Thank you so much for being part of it. Now, one of the fathers of video blogging, back when it was vlogging. One of the most intelligent, wizardly, smart, funny, considerably handsome gentlemen of the world is going to talk to Steve Garfield. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I love that. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm swell. I adore you. Thank you for pointing out the volume. Carrie tells me every single day that my volume is bad, so I've just been like knocking it down more and more and more. So
yeah, so you knocked it way down. Then the guest came in and he was blowing you out of the water. So then I had to decide, who do I want to listen to, you or the guest? And right. Then you
set
know
your level.
Yeah, it's tough because I even just getting on here right now, I had to figure out all my levels. And you know, the system gives you a level, the app gives you a level, and you know. And right now, I don't hear myself, so good. I don't know how we sound in comparison. Hopefully, this sounds good.
I bet you sound grand. So, you sound fine to me. I don't know. What do I know?
Well, that's cool. So,
Steve, I put in my calendar the other day and everything to come see your mom's show, and I had it for the wrong day. I put it the very next day.
I saw that.
Can you catch me up a little? What's going on mom's show? What's she doing now?
Okay, for those of you who don't know, my mom is Millie Garfield, and she's 95 years old, known as one of the internet's oldest bloggers, because I got her into it back in the day, like so many years ago. And she's, you know, I guess she's lonely for people, connecting to people, because she's in a retirement community, and they all are very, very careful over there, so... The dining room is closed, which he's really sad about, and they don't want them gathering together. And she's also been quarantined like 3 times because certain people come in to help her, and then they get maybe positive test, or they might be positive. So then she has to quarantine. So she I mean she's gone through so much. So I decided to do a live video show with her once a week. And the topic of the show is my friend Jan Zlotnick. I don't know if you know him, but he wrote a book called 23 Things I Wish I Could Ask My Mom and Dad. And it's a really great book and gets you to think. So I gave that to my mom as a gift. And the questions are really thought-provoking, like, did your parents ever tell you that they loved you? You know, and, you know, what made you happy when you were sad, or, you know, did you ever break the rules as a kid? All these different things. So each week we'll get on. We're trying to do it every Tuesday at 4:30 live on Facebook. And then for some of her friends who aren't on Facebook, I'll put the shows up on my YouTube channel. So if you guys want to go check it out, however you get to YouTube and put in Steve Garfield, it's youtube.com/something. Steve Garfield, you know, I don't even know what that is.
I think it's user, but like if you type Steve Garfield, it goes, hey, I know what he wants.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been really, you know, it's deep. It's deep because she gets into some things that we'd never really talked about. And then she will ask me the same question. And so her parents never told her that they loved her because from that generation, they just didn't do that.
Right.
But she said that by their actions, they showed her that they loved her, you know, by my grandfather going down the basement on the rickety stairs in the dark basement to throw coal in the burner, shovel it in.
Well, that sure was love. I mean, everything you set up sounded like a horror movie, so I was like to fight monsters, obviously.
Yeah.
To go in the basement to do. But that's pretty, I mean, that's touching stuff, Steve. Plus, at this time in her life, you want to capture all that you can. You want to have everything you can because you want when Millie's 120, you want her to look back at this and say, man, I can't believe that's my answers 25 years ago. I hate these answers, and she'll give you new ones when she's 120. That's my opinion.
120.
That's what I want to hear.
Oh, man.
So Chip says StreamYard tries to do auto volume control. Yeah, it also, by the way, the minute you use StreamYard once, it takes over your volume on every other thing you own.
Oh, I was trying to look at my volume. I just shut that thing off. So yeah, we just got a comment that says, when is the show? So
and then he said, never mind, I got it. That was Carl.
Just what I just said. Hey, Carl. old video blogging week time. How much time do we have? Because I have one more thing we could talk about, or do you want to get another guest?
You know what? I cede the stage to you, and then if it's super long, I'll just boop you. But keep going. What do you got? And then I'm grabbing Fen.
I love when you cut off in the mid-sentence, so I'm ready to go at any time. It's like Ellen. She pushes the button, and the person drops. Like, right. Just they have no idea. So let me say goodbye now for when you boot me later. I had to do a magazine photo shoot the other day, and it was really interesting because the person who edits the magazine had an email exchange with me, and they were kind of asking me if I wanted to do a cover shoot. So I was under the impression they wanted me on the cover.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And I was like, yeah, I can be available on these days. And then the emails went back and forth with me having the wrong impression that I was the cover subject. I'm like, well, what are you going to write about? Can you give me some more information about this? Like, and she wasn't really giving me any information because she thought I was just going to be the photographer. So finally she says, well, the couple that you're going to be shooting will be there at 8 a.m. on Sunday. And I went, oh, so I'm not going to be the cover story? And she goes, ha, 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 you're so funny. So
and meanwhile.
So then I had to do a cover shoot, and I'm online like I've never done this before, and I've done photography for years, but I had to go look at, you know, the ratio, like what you would want, and I have all these cameras, so I'm getting all the cameras I ever got through, you know, eval programs and things. I'm getting them all ready. And I had a tripod. I brought Carol, my wife, with me as my assistant. I brought these huge white
sheets. Yeah, I know those things. Yeah,
to reflect light. I brought one of these light stands with batteries and a USB. I mean, I had all the gear. And then we went to do the shoot, and the family brought their two little kids, 18 months and 3 years old. Oh. And so I had a shot list of everything I wanted. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this shot, and I'm going to go do this one and that one and everything. So all that got thrown out the window.
Out the window.
So I'm taking my shots, and then I'm like, well, let me just take some test ones with the iPhone. And I'm showing the editor of the magazine. She was there too. Here, this is what it looks like. You have room for the masthead, like on top. Yeah, that's good. And I'm taking shots with the iPhone. I took some shots with all the other cameras. And then later, when I got back home and I'm going through all my photos, all the best photos are on the iPhone.
Oh, my gosh.
And, which isn't necessarily bad because it has the live photo feature.
Yes.
Where you can click on the photo and you can get all the shots right around where you hit the button. So I'm, like, picking the perfect shots. So I sent in, like, 2 from one of the big cameras and maybe 8 from the iPhone.
Oh, my gosh.
And the cover of the magazine is going to be the iPhone photo.
I love it. That's so funny.
And so the thing I was writing and sharing about this was when you're a professional photographer and you go out on a shoot, they're going to expect you to bring gear. And if I show up with just my iPhone, they're going to be like, I come out of my pocket. I'm like, okay, let's go. They're all going to be thinking, the impression is, what is going on? So, you know, I think I'm ready to just bring the iPhone and forget all the gear, but I'm still thinking that I need to bring some stuff to lend credence to being a professional.
Right. You have to bring those bags of gear just to litter the ground with, and then just put your iPhone out. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you're always so good. Steve Garfield, you can find much more about Steve Garfield on the tweeters. Also, go to stevegarfield.com. Boop. Oh, I love Steve Garfield. What a handsome man. Coming up is Fen, though. I don't think we've talked face-to-face, have we, Fen?
No, this will be the first time.
Wow, how the heck are you? Thanks for coming on the show. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just figured I'd give it a shot.
It's, well, why not? What else would we be doing? Maybe work, who knows?
Right.
So what has been going on in your world? What's exciting? What's something that you're like, oh, this is good versus the stuff you hate?
Right. So, you know, it's been interesting. So I've been kind of working on separating my personal myself from my studio a little bit. So I, you know, I have a day job, but I also am a studio founder. And so I've been kind of, unfortunately, had like muddied those waters where my identity and the studio identity were tied together. So I've been working on separating that because I do a lot of things, mm-hmm. and I don't want that to detract from what the studio does. So anyway, one of the new things I'm getting into is NFTs, and I know you had a guest who just spoke about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's been a big, literally, been a sponge for the last few weeks on that. So that's been a big, big thing for me.
So what are you thinking to, and I know it's early days, but what are you thinking you might marry to that NFT format? Like, what do you think about bringing onto it?
Well, so I think what's really cool about it is, you know, right now, obviously, it's being used for art, but because it's essentially a smart contract and it's like a certificate of authenticity, you can use it to represent any kind of digital file. And then also you can use it to unlock experiences. And so there's these different protocols that can be tied to it. So like an artist, for instance, let's say you sold 100 NFTs, and then those people that bought those would get like VIP passes to your future events or something like that. And so you can use it to kind of create all these different levels of fandom, I guess you would call it. But then also, you know, I think for musicians, there's a big opportunity to basically take the NFT and use that to unlock their music on a streaming platform. And because you can control the pricing of the NFT and then also the percentage of resale value, let's say you buy an NFT from your favorite band for their new album, and then that unlocks the streaming access to that album. But then after a year, you're like, you know, I don't really need this anymore. I can sell it to Finn. Well, when you sell it to me, the original artist is going to get their percentage off of that. And that's something that, you know, previously we never had.
So what the Kings of Leon say they're going to do with it is they're going to do things like make it you can have a yellow, you can have a golden ticket. So you might just be buying the album. And what you're going to get is also a front row seat to the show. I mean, that's ridiculous. So
exactly. That's
the other thing I've been hearing about with a visual artist, for instance, is that you can make some sneakers up or something like that, and you can have them into video games that are willing to take on those kinds of scans. So someday you could be rocking your own kicks in Fortnite or something. That'd be kind of nuts.
Totally, totally. I mean, it's really interesting. Like, let's say let's say I was a renowned 3D artist and I had like a very specific style. So all my renderings had this like very specific texture. I could even sell that texture pack as an NFT, and then people could buy. It's almost like buying Picasso's paints, right? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's so many opportunities for artists that we never had before, you know. But the main thing is being able to prove ownership of a digital file, and that's just, you know, the beginning.
That's useful enough for, you know, all the artists of the world who get screen grabbed to hell and back from Reddit and places like that. So their signature gets sliced every time that gets done. So Cody asked if NFTs are setting us up for Ready Player One, you know, where people are going to have those virtual platforms where you buy something and it's real by merit of the fact that it has that contract tied to it. So that might be kind of true.
Yeah. I mean, this is the part of it that I don't have a lot of insight into, but there's the whole metaverse side of this thing where people are buying virtual land and they're creating virtual worlds and they're setting up virtual exhibits and experiences. So yeah, there's that whole side of it that I'm still learning about, but yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's, you know, the future is now.
Future is now. Fan, thank you so much for coming on the show. That was so cool. You took a shot and came on.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Glad we caught up. Boop. I've booped Fan. That's it. Oh, there goes Cody typing to all of the platforms in the world again. Wizard. It doesn't matter to me. Carrie's going to be on here later going, why did I tweet that? So that'll be funny. Excellent lessons here, Fenn. Look at it. I love it. I love the fact that, you know, we get a show together like this. It goes really fast. Everybody works just fine. I just realized something. So we're near the end of the show.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
I mean, by nature of the fact that Cody keeps typing for me, I could, I could give myself person of the day. So let me see. I just want to walk through and just say, who do I want to give this to today? Well, I'm going to give it to Paul because he said nice things to me. So, you know, love the format of the show. Thank you, Paul. I do as well. A little slow getting started because all you shy types weren't out there, you know, jumping right in like that. But, you know, I'm really glad that you're here. Chloe says, nice to meet you, Fenn, which means we hope you come by a little bit more. Well, we come now to the end of the show. This is the last part of the show that we ask the same question we've asked every single one of our guests. And that question is a backpack question. So I was thinking about this a lot. I was thinking about, you know, I always ask all these other guests what goes in the backpack, but, you know, I haven't really handled that question myself. So maybe I should have a good answer. So thought about this for quite a while. Here's what I had put in the backpack. I think first I'd start with